Hey everyone, Chris Wan here. This is Accent Out Loud, a podcast about one person's take on English language learning, accent modification, and communication. Hey everyone, today you're going to hear compilations of clips that I did throughout the week to basically show you that you can find time to practice your accent in between your daily life. It's going to be, I think, 3 or 4 separate clips, each one either a drive, 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there. And the whole point is I'm bringing a new tidbit of information in each one. Hope you enjoy it. Hey everyone, this is going to be episode 19, and we're going to do a little bit more Australian accent stuff. One of the things that I want to talk about, and I was actually kind of inspired by Tim Ferriss and the way that he approaches learning languages. And one of the things that he approaches it is, how can I do 20% of the work that's going to get me 80% of the result? And he breaks down and essentially he makes it hyper efficient way or method to acquiring new skills. And one of the things I thought was interesting was even taking a look at the most common words in English. What are the most common words that we use? And interestingly enough, there is a Wikipedia an article or input for that, and there's the top 100 words in combination with Forvo, forvo.com, and building a repertoire of Australian English user input, then you can sort of get the idea of how would this sound in Australian English or UK English. Again, UK is quite a broad term, even Australian is quite a broad term, but for the points of starting a generalized accent and working on those pieces before you get into the nuanced subtext or the nuances between a New Yorker accent, a Boston accent, those types of things. If you're just looking for a general American accent, I think this is a good place to start. And again, this is more so for professionals, public speaking in a work environment, rather than maybe the nitty-gritty or the nuanced pieces of being an actor. And there's an interesting, in this list, there's also different nouns, different adjectives, different verbs, prepositions. And I think that this is a good place to start, particularly if you're just learning a general American or general Canadian English accent. It's also helpful to make sure that you've got these words, make sure that you're using them frequently, because these are the words that a native English speaker would use frequently as well. And what I've done is I've started to try and build that the same sort of list, but with an Australian English user's data. So the idea is I can hear how they say it and notice some of the differences. It's not a full list, but I got it here. And I'll play it now, and then I'll put it in the show notes where you can download it. I'll try and host something.
I am as a bat.
By four. From.
At.
He.
Her.
Is.
I.
In.
Is.
Not.
Of. All. Say. She.
So.
That.
There.
Thy.
To.
This.
But. We.
Be.
Will.
Put.
Would.
You. So, like, I think the idea that I want to grasp from it is some of the rules are still very apparent. For example, in Australian English, that R sound is, again, much more removed as the final consonant. So it's more four instead of four. Or, for example, year instead of year. And what's another one? First instead of first. Person. So you can still pick up a lot of these rules or these things that you might have learned from a quick Google search or from a YouTube video. And again, the idea is you're still implementing them. You're still applying them when you're learning this accent. And the whole point of practicing it, doing different techniques or strategies or tests, is to A, make it very much so like a playful experimental process. It's not something that you really want to stress too much about like, I have to get it right. This is sort of an exploratory adventure or trial and error piece. The second thing that I think it's important to note is that you start thinking in a way that, and using it in a way that you're sort of developing a motor pattern. You're developing a muscle memory for the sounds, the shapes. So you're not always constantly thinking on the fly. Okay, is it, you're not sort of groping at those mouth movements, searching your mouth and really doing that too much when you're talking. And the whole point of this, again, is to develop a better understanding and a better grasp of mouth movements, sounds in general, and then applying those to the patterns of speech for English in Australia versus English in Canada versus English in the UK. What I'm also going to do is try and combine some snippets from different times in the week where I'm practicing these things, so you get the sense that, like, I'm actually doing this on my own time. I'm doing this as I'm learning, and I'm not, it's not something that is natural to me. I'm not a good actor. I'm not a good drama type of guy. I'm quite reserved. I'm quite quiet. And it's only through study, focus, attention, practicing that I'm starting to develop some of these skills. I'm not even comfortable saying I have these skills. But starting to develop them. So let's say the word for, it's an Australian English accent, and even a UK accent, you might be more for. And what then you can start building in is, okay, I have the word for, now let's try and make up a sentence with it. 4 days ago, I took a long nap. For 4 years, I studied at college. For what do we owe the pleasure? 44, forevermore. So, and the reason why I keep saying so is after listening to all those Wendy Zuckerman Science Versus episodes, she always says so, and she always drags it on. So that's something that I've started to even do on my own. And so for the word so, I can start making sentences with it. So, I have to go to work tomorrow. So, it's 11:30 at night. I have about 6 hours of sleep that I can get tonight. So I have to do some dishes. I have to clean up a little bit before bedtime. So what can we talk about next? And this might seem like rambling, but the idea is you do this in the car, you do this at home, you do this with your children, you practice, even if it's silly, I do this with my girlfriend all the time, and she's indifferent now about my accent. I was going to say not immune, but she's used to it. She's used to me making silly sounds, making silly words, making weird or trying to do accents, even though I'm terrible at them. So she's a bit more used to it now, even though they might not be good accents, they might not be accurate. But I'm starting to get a little bit more comfortable trying on something different. So overall, I think it's a success. So I'm going to stop here and get to bedtime. And so have a good one. I just have a few minutes, and I figured I'd talk about Australian slang terms and why it's important to use the lingo or use the language that the local people are using if you want to develop and master a believable native English accent. So for example, I am a Canadian English speaker. We're going to try Australian English, and from that, some Aussie vernacular, some Aussie words that are primarily only used in Australia are helpful. If you want to communicate like a local native English speaker, then you have to, in part, try to use the same language that they're using. A lot of times with grammar schools and ESL schools, they teach you very proper English, and sometimes the message or the impact that has on your believability as a local is actually counterproductive. Some words that I can start using if I'm using an Australian English accent, arvo, or with an Australian English accent, I think it sounds probably more like arvo. And what I can then do is take a look on forvo.com. It's this site that I've mentioned a few times, but we can take a look and see what an Australian English person would say.
Arvo.
I'm not hitting that R sound as lightly. I'm either leaving it completely out or doing it too hard. Arvo.
Avo.
It's something that I can work on. And what you do is you slowly start to build it into your interactions or your pretended speech, right? Avo. Bogan. I think I'm saying that right, but I can always check. And I'm just typing these into forvo.com, and you've got some pronunciations and quite a few Australian pronunciations, so we can listen to a few.
Bogan.
So I think you can say it bogan, but if you really want to exaggerate it a little bit more,
bogan.
You can exaggerate that piece. And then you can practice saying it in sentences. Oh, bogan. Bloody bogan. Bogan. And the idea then is you're incorporating it, building this muscle memory, building this use case, building this tendency towards using these words. And that's how you slowly add the vocabulary of an Australian English speaker into your repertoire. Let's do another one. We've got mozzie. Might be another one for mosquito. Mozzie. Bloody mozzies. Mozzie. And so I'm even just guessing what I think it's going to sound like, but you can have forvo.com give you that example.
Mozzie.
So many bloody mozzies around. Oh, there's a mozzie. Let's go back inside. There might be too many mozzies outside. Mozzie. I'm going to stop here. And so, have a good one. This time around, it's going to be a clip of some words that I found based on a YouTube video about Australian English. It's coming from Aussie English, posted June 27th, 2018. Talks about the Australian O sound. And in it, the teaching or the lesson is sort of, we're going to be, instead of the O sound, it's more of an O. So it's a diphthong. It's two vowel shapes within one syllable. So instead of O, it's O, O. And some of the words that some of the sentences and words that he uses as examples for this practicing this O sound is nose, crows, throw, dingoes. And some sentences include, I throw toes at Bo's nose. So I don't know if Bo won't go. And you never know when to go. So let's see if I can get an audio clip of him saying it.
You never know when to go.
You never know when to go.
And so YouTube can also be a good resource for finding out different people's accent videos in education. That's honestly where you can learn a lot of it. I think the main thing, though, is you amalgamate all the different resources and apply those to the accent you are trying to learn or develop for yourself. So that's another small snippet. After a little bit more digging, the Aussie English YouTube channel, there is a free ebook guide to learning Australian English. So that's something that I can put my efforts towards now too, because somebody has taken the time to make a free resource guide that I can start using. And I don't think that there's anything particularly wrong with me using someone else's resources. As a speech language pathologist, I mean, I'm going to do what's practical. If somebody's already done it, I don't know exactly what his qualifications are, but if somebody's already done it, put the time in, I might as well take a look at it and see what resources he has. I'll keep you posted on what I'm learning as I'm doing the rest of my English, Aussie English accent, but similarly for a Canadian English accent or an American English accent, there are resources out there. There are free downloads, free ebooks. There are things that you can start doing, and I think a lot of it you'll find is quite repetitive and redundant. It'll cover the same sort of material each time, every time, but the point is that you're slowly building your repertoire, you're slowly building your access to more resources, and subsequently your exposure to different aspects of the English language that maybe you didn't focus as much time on in either school when you were learning or in the workplace when you are busy with the work side of things. You're not focused on how each sound comes across, how you're delivering it, what are nonverbal cues or gestures that you should be associating with your communication to drive home the point that you're trying to make much more, so that ultimately you can be more clear. Anyways, this will be a few snippets from different clips. Hopefully you find these small tidbits of information helpful, because I think that they're going to give you a better sense of my perspective on it, how you don't have to spend hours and hours each day as like sit down sessions, but you can approach it in a multi episode period of time where you're just doing it like 15 minutes here on the drive to work, 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon, 15 minutes just before bed. And as you build that habit, then you're going to be more and more comfortable with trying new sounds, different ways, different deliveries. And hopefully it's done in a very stress-free, chill way. Have a good one. If you like what you're hearing, or even if you aren't, let me know. I know this podcast can be something great and educational for a lot of people. I'm here to listen, so give me your take, your likes, your dislikes, and maybe we can make this into something that'll help a lot of people. Leave a rating on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Once I figure out how to read the reviews, I'm sure it'll help.